Aren't you thankful that you can just lay down all of this life? Oh, and just lay down in the arms of the Savior. Oh, He wants to refresh you so desperately. See, the very thing that we need the most is the hardest thing for us to give when we're tired and weary and all the things of life. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we recognize who You are. Oh, we just thank You, Lord, right now that You're trying to breathe fresh air from heaven into our spirit. Oh, we give You permission and we breathe in Your presence. All the things of life, all the struggles, all the tense things, we just breathe out. We let those things go. Lord, You're our shepherd. You'll take care of us. Our confidence, our trust is in You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Thank You, Jesus. If you would, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John and 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Gospel of John chapter 13 and 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hold this in your heart, what Brother Corey was leading us in worship and in, and what that presence of the Lord that you were feeling, because he's wanting to refresh you this morning. Come on there. We've got a I know a lot of you've been through a lot of struggles these past few days, these past few weeks, and Jesus just wants to encourage you, amen. He wants to show you that He's on the throne, and He just wants to be your all in all. And we've been praying with you and praying for you. You're not alone. Amen. God, You had a promise that Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, I'll be with you until the very end of the world, the end of the age. Amen. But you, you got to just keep on keeping on. And there's struggles. He didn't say that He was going to deliver us out of this world. He said He was going to take us through it in His power and His glory. Amen. I feel like the Spirit of God would have us to talk about a fresh baptism of love this morning. How many needs love? We need love, amen? Love is the key to everything. And as you look around our world today, there is so much hate. There's so much division. Well, love brings everything together. Think about when you first repented of your sins and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Think about how everything in your life was swallowed up by the love of God. And you know, it didn't matter who was around you. It might have been somebody before that you weren't close to, or maybe you didn't even like the way they talked or the way they acted or the way they dressed, but you wanted to hug their neck. Remember that feeling? That's not supposed to be a feeling. That's supposed to be a fruit of the Spirit. That's supposed to be available to you and I every day of our lives. I've just got to keep my enemy down. My enemy, yes, I've got an enemy as a roaring lion, the devil. But right here, pinch yourself. This is your enemy. This right here will keep you out of God's best. It will keep you from enjoying life. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. John chapter 13, let's start reading in verse 31. Here Jesus is giving the last words of instruction to His disciples before He goes to the cross. He's trying to explain some things to them. He says, therefore, when He was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. Verse 32, if God be glorified in Him, God shall also glorify Him in Himself, and shall straightway glorify Him. Verse 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, you know the verse very well, but let's read verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 8, charity, love never fails. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But you notice the first part of the verse, charity never fails. Love never fails. Hallelujah. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for honoring the word. You are a special group of people. Come on, the church is being pruned. Come on, you're being pruned and purged. You're getting ready to bear fruit like you've never bore fruit before. Because God is for you. Come on, God is on your side because you chose to be on His side. Amen? And so don't get shaken by what you're seeing in the world today. The things that is happening in the church world is not the church. Come on, say, I'm the church. You're the church. Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. And so we see a lot of things happening in the church world. But what is happening is light is shining. And when light is shining, darkness is revealed and it runs. But you and I are able to see what's real and what's not. Amen. So we're in a place and a position this morning of great blessing. We have great opportunities because you and I have eyes to see, we have ears to hear, and we're in a perfect time and opportunity to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's look at some things. Let's spend just a little time here in John 13, and I want you to leave here so refreshed in the Spirit of God by His Word. Now notice out of the mouth of Jesus, he says there in verses 31 and 32, he talks about bringing God glory. And he talks about how God and the Son are glorified. And then he moves into the reality that he wants to teach. The last thing he wants to leave with his disciples is a teaching about love. Now, why is that so important? See, you and I, Sister Victoria put Matthew 24:12. As Jesus is giving what we call the Olivet Discourse, where he's telling what's going to happen in the last days, he makes this statement in verse 12, and because iniquity, lawlessness shall abound. Are we seeing lawlessness in our country today? Come on, we're seeing it like never before. Everything that's wrong is being associated with being right. Everything that's of darkness is being associated with light. We're in this time period, the very moment that Jesus spoke of. But he said, because lawlessness shall abound, he said what? The love of many shall wax cold. People are going to be so offended. They're going to be so troubled. They're going to be in a situation where so many things is happening in their life that they're not going to be led as they should be by the Spirit of God in their heart, but they're going to start being led by what they're seeing, by what they're feeling. The devil wants you to go by your hurt rather than by the Savior in your heart. Amen. And so this morning, let's look at some things that will help us. So we got to make a decree. We got to tell the Lord, Lord, my love is going to abound because you're the source of my love. Come on, you don't have to pull it up out of yourself. You just have to let the Holy Spirit bring it out of your spirit. Amen. And we'll close with that thought. But look what he said in verse 33. Notice the tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, little children. Little children, aren't you glad that as Jesus is telling his disciples, as he's telling us the same thing this morning, he's calling us his children? I love that, don't you? And this children, it means a child that is produced, okay? So, in other words, you're not made by your own hands. You didn't make yourself. Mom and Daddy didn't make you. Yes, they had a part in this flesh body, but God Almighty, through His Son, Jesus Christ, He made you. You're made with a destiny this morning. You're made with a purpose. And of course, when you represent the Lord God Almighty, the devil, all of his imps, this whole fallen world is going to stand against you. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. Come on, I've overcome the world, amen? And so in this world, we're going to have tribulation, but you can be of good cheer. And now notice, he said, little children. Now what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 18? In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, unless you be converted. Now we have no problem with the conversion. Every one of us, we know that we need to be born again. The Bible says that we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless we be born again. Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3 makes that very clear. And all we've got to do is believe in the heart and confess with the mouth Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we're born again. Amen. But he said, unless you be converted. But then we have a little problem with the next part. In Matthew 18:3, he said, and become as little children. See, I love it because if you tell Samantha or Stephen something, they just look up at you. Corey and Tori's doing a wonderful job raising them in the truth of the Lord, and I'm so grateful for that. But if you tell them something, they believe it. Because why? They have an attitude of as a humble child. This morning, I need to see Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need to see that He's calling me His child. And I need to say, Lord, You know better than I do. Come on, I can't see the way the Lord sees. Now I can walk with Him, and as I walk with Him and I take in the Word of God, I can let the Word start being my vision, and I can start growing into His vision. I can start growing into what He's hearing and seeing and all of those things. But if I'm not in that place of walking in the Spirit by the Word of God, then I can't see like He can, like He does. And so I want to be in the place this morning where I say, Lord, I want You to be who You are to me. I want to be your little child. He said, little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. See, I love it because children, they get excited. Think about when you were a child, or think about your children or your grandchildren. You come home from work or you come home from somewhere. What do? They run to you because they want to see you. They're excited about seeing you. Well, that's the way that you and I need to be about the Lord. Amen. We need to have this childlike attitude that we can seek the Lord and we can see Him and we can allow Him to bring truth into our lives that we desperately need. We can't make it without the truth of the Word. Amen. But anyway, that's another sermon for another time. Drop down and look at verse 34. Out of the mouth of the Lord and Savior, He said, a new commandment I give unto you. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus is saying, I want to sum up everything about the Old Testament. I want to sum it up in one simple way that you can live it. I don't know about you. I can't imagine memorizing and trying to walk by all the external things that is in the Old Testament. But this morning, you and I, we can walk simply by the love command. Isn't that amazing? That's the grace of God. The love command is the grace of God. And not only can we walk by it, we can do it because God gave us love in our lives. Now think about it. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, for God demonstrated His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when I see what Christ done for me, when you see what Christ done for you, that's the pure love of God. Amen. The Bible says that God, He doesn't love. God is love. And so He demonstrated, He made an exhibition. He made a revelation of show of His love through Jesus Christ. And so with that reality, that's the commandment. The commandment is God said, I'm going to send Jesus and He's going to fulfill every jot, every tittle of the Old Testament. And He's going to give you a dispensation of grace. Amen. To walk in. And that's what Brother Corey was talking about. He was quoting Ephesians 2:8 this morning as he was leading us in worship. You and I, that salvation is simply because of our faith in the grace of God. Amen? So he said, this new commandment I give unto you. Now, hold this in your heart. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. See, my level of obedience in my life reveals how much I'm letting the love of God work in my life. That's important. That's critical. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, what did Jesus say? Sister Victoria, put the last verse, verse 31, John 14:31, up there and see what Jesus says as that's in the same teaching. John 14:31? Thank you so much. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Now receive that this morning. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. You and I can do nothing unless we have somebody to show us. But Jesus has showed us. He's our pattern. He is our hope. He's our confidence, our revelation. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Where is he going to? He's going to the cross. He's going to the cross for you, for me, for whosoever will. He's going to walk out everything that God had showed him because he loved his Father and he loved you. Jesus loves you. He's willing to do everything that he did that you might have forgiveness, that I might have forgiveness, but that we might have victory. Amen. So, getting back to John 13, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, he says all of a sudden that he said, I'm going to give you the ability to love like me. Wow! Isn't that amazing this morning? That when God wants something, he speaks it out. Right? When there was darkness, he said, let there be. And there was light, right? So now Jesus is wanting us to understand that we can love like he does. Oh my goodness, that's power. That's revelation. That's victory that I can love like Jesus says, because Jesus cannot lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he said that we could love just like he can. It's not that I have to do it. I get to do it. He's my source. See, you and I, we've got to get out of this. That's what Brother Corey was talking about. Out of this work mentality and just let the word be. Let Jesus be in our life. Amen. So he said that I could love like he loved. And look what he promised. He said that you also love one another. He said, I want you to love as I've loved you. That means I can love Jesus in the same degree. I can love my brothers and sisters in that same degree. I don't have to like things, but I can love them. Amen? Isn't that amazing? Now, he brings us in and he says, this is what I want you to get in your heart. He said, verse 35, he said, by this shall all men know, that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. Now, this word know is from a Greek word that means to know absolutely. In other words, right now, it used to be used around church folks. In the world, you had no trouble telling who they were. But because there's such a mixture, there's such a blending, there's such an attitude of, we can't offend people. We don't need to be so different. Yes, we do. Your salt, your light, that's different than the world. And it's going to be intrusive. It's going to be an eye-awakening. It's going to be a heart-opening experience. And when those things happen, it gets people's attention. Amen? But he said, by this love that you're able to love, because it's not your own power, it's the power of the Spirit of God, you're going to be able to do what I do. Amen? And people are going to know there is something different about you. So let's see some things. Go with me. Hold your place here. And let's go to Matthew chapter 22. And let's see something here. Matthew chapter 22. Look at starting in verse 36. This is where there's a lawyer that is trying to tempt Jesus. And we won't get into all that. But look at verse 36. Master, which is the greatest? Matthew 22:36. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. Now, what we talked about as we opened up, remember, 1 Corinthians 13:8, that love never fails. In other words, love is your way, my way to victory. And so all of a sudden, Jesus just makes a statement. He said that you and I are to love the Lord our God with what? With all of our heart. Now, this word heart here, it has many meanings, but what it basically means, your heart is in the center of who you are. So, in my heart, I had a lot of, lust. I had a lot of, selfishness. I had a lot of, vain imaginations. I had a lot of things that was not Christ-like. I had a lot of things that caused me problems. I had a lot of things that fed this flesh. Amen? But all of a sudden, Jesus tells me that I am to love with my heart, with the center of who I am. And so when God gives a command, He gives an anointing upon the command to be able to do it. So all of a sudden now, when something comes up in my heart and there's a revelation that it's there trying to hurt or hinder me, I'm not under condemnation. Come on, you're not, the church is not under condemnation, but all of a sudden we have a revelation of either there's something there that can be swallowed up in Jesus, or it's a lie of the devil trying to get us to step back and accept condemnation. Amen. And to say, oh, I guess Jesus didn't do what He said He did. No, that's not true. Jesus did what He said He did, and you are a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? But I've got to walk that out, and I've got to say, no, wait a minute. I love the Lord with every center of who I am. The center is the source of all things. I don't know about you. I love the center of a watermelon. I love the center of a chocolate cake. Come on. The center is the best part. Okay, the best part is God is in the middle of who you are. He's in the middle of your life. He's in the middle of your desires. He's in the middle of your goals. He's in the middle of everything about you. So the good things of God is inside of you and I. And you and I, we can love. And it's a victory. It's our way to victory. And we're going to walk it out. He said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Suke. It's breath. I get to love the Lord with all my breath. Come on, that means every time I breathe in, I'm breathing in Jesus. Come on, I breathe out self. I breathe out sin. I breathe out strengthlessness. I breathe out the things of this world. But with all of my breath, I can breathe in the truth of Jesus Christ. And love never fails. And what do you do when you talk? Come on, when you talk, breath is going over your vocal cords and is coming out of your life. I can love the Lord in my language. Come on, my language that is vocal, my language that is active out of my life. I can do it because God told me to do it, and because He told me to do it, I have an anointing this morning. You have an anointing this morning, and all it takes is staying in this place of a fresh baptism of love. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but my mind is what causes me problems. The Bible tells us, Paul goes into great detail as he teaches the church at Ephesus and as he teaches the church at Corinth. The battle is in our minds. This is what the devil attacks. He attacks your mind. That's what he did in the beginning in the garden. Come on, he come and he attacked the mind of Eve. He worked on and Eve and Adam, and he caused them to sin and step away from everything that God had for him. And that's what the devil wants to do to you and I. So I've got to come back and I've got to say, wait a minute. The Lord said I could love him with all of my mind. That means when this thought of depression, this thought of sadness, this thought of defeat, this thought of discouragement, this thought of loneliness, it can be swallowed up in the love of God. But you, I, have got to make that choice. We're separated from some people that we didn't have any role in. It wasn't our choice. We love them. We'll always love them because God put that love there. But I'm here to tell you that God is putting His family back together. And we may not see everything that we want. We may not be able, it may not be possible to see some things that we want in this life, but God's going to make sure. He said, enter into the joys of the Lord. God has some joys for you and I. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard what God's got prepared for you. Come on. It has to be revealed by the Spirit, this fresh baptism of love. It's for you this morning. It's for me this morning. So we've got to see that. So in your mind, everything that tries to steal your joy, tries to steal your peace, tries to rob you of your identity in Christ Jesus, let it be swallowed up in the love of God. Amen? All right. Notice what he says. He said in verse 39, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything about the law and the prophets, everything in the Old Testament is fulfilled or completed by this very love. And so I want you to think about it. I can love that neighbor who isn't lovable. Come on, you can love that neighbor that isn't lovable. And Jesus went into great detail teaching us who our neighbor was. That's what the parable of the Good Samaritan is all about. It's not just the person next door. Come on, it's the person in your life that you're going to bypass. I get aggravated when somebody passes you and then they pull right in front of you and slow down and turn off. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things in life that aggravate us. There's a lot of things that people do. They say things, they act certain ways and all of those things. But that cannot defeat the love that is in your life. That cannot steal your joy. Now, I can choose to give it away, and I have in the past. But in the name of Jesus, I don't want to give the devil nothing to you. I want to hold on to the good things of God. All right, let's look at something. Look at Romans 13. Let's read verse 8 and then jump up and read verse 10. Romans 13, and let's see how he talks about this just for a second. Romans 13, verse 10, says, Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Here's a second witness to what we were talking about. So, I can love my neighbor as myself, and love works no ill. So what, when the devil wants to push on this flesh and get me to do something that I shouldn't do or say something I shouldn't say, and I don't know about you, sometimes my flesh seems very powerful, but I've got to come back to the reality of what Jesus done for me on the cross, and I've got to take this word as it is, which is truth, and I've got to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to do that, or I'm going to say that. That thought is not me. Come on, that thought is external. Come on, the devil wants to make you come under condemnation and say, well, you're not a Christian. You're not walking in God's grace if you thought that. He put the thought in your mind. He put the thought in Eve's mind and all of those things to try to pull her away, to pull Adam away from what God had for him. That's not you. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. Let that mind that is in Christ be in you. Amen. That mind of what? Of the goodness, the fullness of God. And so love works no ill. And look at verse number 8. He said, owe no man, owe no person anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. See, the devil don't want you and I to understand that we can walk in this love like never before. And as we walk in this love, we're in a place and a position of pulling people out of deception, out of distress, out of discouragement, out of the hand of death. Because anything other than love is death. Amen. And so we want to be in that place where we can make all the difference, and we're going to do it. Amen. All right, so how do we do that this morning? We're working our way to the point of this. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. And you can read the first four verses. It's so exciting to know that we have peace with God now, but we're going to go through trials and tribulations. But just look at verse number 5 for sake of time. But you really need to meditate on the first four verses. Verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? What's the conduit? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So this morning, you are saved. You are born again because God sent His Spirit to draw you. You accepted that drawing power, who the Spirit only lifts up Jesus. So He lifted up Jesus before your eyes, and you called upon the name of Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And so then the gift of the Godhead, that fellowship, comes into your life, comes into your spirit. And so now, every day of your life, you have a source. A source of heaven. You have a source from God Almighty. And the reality is that as you go into this world, you're going to bump into hateful people. You're going to bump into people who are children of the wicked one. Jesus told us that. He said, you're going to bump into tares. You're going to go through situations and circumstances. And so you've got to be in the place where, I've got to be in the place where we say, Lord, I need a fresh baptism of love. I need you to shed abroad in my heart right now some love. Because right now I'm feeling a little anger. I'm feeling a little disappointment. I'm feeling a little this, a little that. You put the adjective for what you're dealing with these past few weeks. Maybe, so what we want to do, we want to come back and we want to say, Lord, right now I receive this shedding abroad in my heart. In other words, God is wanting to pour into your spirit love right from the throne. He wants you to see that that is available for you. So when you start feeling angry, you start feeling all the things where wrath wants to come out of your life, just open up your heart and say, Lord, right now, I know the love of God, it swallows up wrath. The love of God swallows up anger. The love of God swallows up jealousy. The love of God swallows up misunderstanding. And I open up my heart, pour it into my heart right now. And when you make that available, because it's available to you, but you've got to make it available to yourself. When you recognize that God can do that and you expect Him to do it, He'll do it. He's a God that moves according to what you expect. So that's why the devil works so hard on our speech to try to get us to cut us off from God's best. Amen. My speech will either take me to God or it'll pull me away. Draw nigh unto God and He will. Come on. And that happens by what you say, what I say. So let this word, just let it be so real to you. Now go with me to the book of Ephesians. And we're almost to a closing place. I want you to see a couple things here. Turn back one book to Galatians. And I know you know this, but let's look at this just for a second. In Galatians 5:16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I have an opportunity to walk in the Spirit. I'm either going to be walking in the Spirit, or I'm going to be walking in the flesh. So if I choose to walk in the Spirit, which simply means I choose to let the love of God's be shed abroad in my heart by the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the truth of God, the power of God. If I choose to allow that to come into my life, it will. And then all of a sudden, there's some fruit that comes out of my life. Drop down to verse 22. If we're walking in the Spirit, look what His promise is. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, so you don't have to drum up love, because remember, the love of God is being shed abroad in your heart. The love is simply the fruit. It's the very first fruit of the Holy Ghost in your life. By this shall all men know that you are His disciple. So you have the opportunity, you have the ability to be able to say, wait a minute, a tomato plant doesn't worry about producing tomatoes. An apple tree doesn't worry about producing apples. Why? Because the branch simply produces what is coming from the trunk, coming from the DNA of the original seed. Come on, what's the original seed in your life? Come on, you are saved. You are born again by the incorruptible Word of God. Amen? That's what Peter tells us. And that seed is Jesus Christ. That seed is the God-demonstrated love. Amen? So that's in your life. That's in my life this morning. And so I have love. I have joy. I have peace. I have all of these things because Jesus is the vine. I'm the branch. All right, now, in closing, look at Ephesians. Now, we're going to Ephesians 3, but you notice in Ephesians 1 that you are accepted in the Beloved. And the word means that you are accepted by Jesus, and then you're baptized into Him by His love. Amen? And so you have that assurance. And look what this does to you and I when we come to the knowledge of the truth. Starting in verse 16, we've got to be strengthened in our spirit by the truth of the Word of God. And the Word says, this is Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. It's his prayer for you and I, that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened, to be empowered with might by His Spirit. Where? In the inner man. See, I've got to be more inside-minded and less outside-minded. I got to be mindful of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me to be able to walk in this love, to be able to not let this flesh dominate me. Amen. And so I need to be strengthened. I need to see that I can strengthen my spirit. I've got to do it though. I can pray for you. You can pray for me. We can accept this prayer inspired by the Holy Ghost from Paul, but we've got to be the ones that does it. And look what happens. What makes us stronger in our spirit? Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Come on, this word dwell means to house permanently. In other words, you and I, we can't push Jesus over here going, okay, you go in this room, Lord. I'm going to be in this room right here having a pity party. I'm going to be in this room. I got some people I got to talk about. There's something happened last week, got me and Donna so upset. And before I knew it, I was murmuring and complaining and griping and moaning and taking on. And it didn't even happen. It was all a lie. I lost some joy. I lost some peace. I lost some love for something that did not happen. The devil loves to orchestrate things and make things appear real when they're not. Come on. All right. So we got to be strengthened. He said that Christ may dwell. See, I pushed him out is what I was trying to say. Let's don't push Jesus out. Amen. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? By faith. It's not by what you feel. My feelings bother me. My feelings are up and down. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm mad. I'm angry. I have hope. I have no hope. All of those things. I'm just like the ocean in my feelings. But that doesn't matter. By faith, I know all is well. Amen. By faith this morning, you know all is well. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, say me, being rooted and grounded in love. Oh my goodness. So the truth is how I strengthen my spirit man is that I realize that I am rooted and grounded in love. Now, what does it mean to be rooted? In other words, you and I, we're planted in Jesus. Remember Isaiah prophesied about Jesus, about the Messiah, the Savior, is going to come from the root of Jesse. All right. You and I, we've been engrafted in. Come on. We've been engrafted in to the, we're a part of God's family, Jew and Gentile. God's trying to make one new man. Amen. He's trying to make a family of God. And so we're being put together. But I am rooted. You're rooted in Jesus. That means everything that flows through Jesus flows through me. Everything that flows through Jesus flows through you. That's how your inner man is strengthened. So when there's a weak area in your life, you say, I don't accept that. By faith, I have victory. By faith, I'm an overcomer. By faith, I have peace. By faith, I have deliverance. By faith, I have all my needs met. Come on. By faith, I'm being strengthened on the inside because I know what Jesus has done for me, and I'm grounded in love. Grounded in love. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7? He said, if you and I, if we build our house, if we build our lives upon the Word, we don't build it. We build it upon the rock, not upon the sand of the life. Matthew 7, 24, 25, 26, 27. He said that no matter what kind of storm comes against you, you won't be shaken. Your house, your life will not be moved. Amen. So I'm rooted and I'm grounded in love. I need to tell the devil. I need to tell this flesh. I need to tell anybody that's trying to move me off from that. I say, I am rooted in Jesus. I'm building my life by the Word of God, and I'm not going to be shaken. Amen? Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend, that this word comprehend means that you take this truth and you possess it. See, we know a lot of truth, but if we're not owning it, if we're not operating in it, it does us no good. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, what's the width, and the length, and the depth, and the height. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The love of God, it passes everything that you know. If we live by what we know, we'll die. If we live by what we know, we'll never have joy. If we live by what we know, we'll never have peace. But if we'll let this love be our source, it'll pass everything that you've come to knowledge of in this world. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You can be filled with the fullness of God. Because the fullness of God is Jesus, the Word. The Word. Yes. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Come on. The same as in the beginning. The Word. You and I, we've got to read this Bible. We've got to let the Holy Ghost talk to us. Take this Word in. And when you take this Word in, you become full of it, Him, rather than all the lies of this world. And you have a fresh baptism of love. And look what it does in closing. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. Remember that power in verse 16, that was translated might up there, that the power worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God wants to do some things in your life that you haven't even thought about. See, the devil wants us just to say, boy, if I can make it through this week, I've done something. Jesus doesn't want us to have that mentality. He wants us to know, because we're being strengthened by the inner man, that we can ask some things, that our mind can be renewed to the truth of the Word of God, of who we are and what Jesus has done for us. Jesus came that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly, right? So it's available to us. So we've got to make some choices how we walk in this life. We've got to make some choices that we let this love come into our life, and we don't let the trouble, don't let trouble take from you what Jesus has bought and paid for. Amen? I want to close with this thought. There was a grandma and grandpa, they were with their three grandchildren, and they wanted to teach these grandchildren something that they would never forget. And so the grandma and grandpa, they gave these three little grandchildren, they gave each one of them their favorite sucker. And they gave each one of them a very rough pebble. And as they handed it to these three grandchildren, they said, I want you to walk down the road to that oak tree, and then I want you to put that pebble in your shoe, and I want you to open that sucker, and I want you to walk back to me. So these three grandchildren, they walked down the road, that dusty road, hot summer evening, and they got to that oak tree, and quickly, what was the first thing they did? Come on, they opened the sucker. You and I, we like the sweet things of life, but they opened the sucker, and then they placed the rough pebble in their shoe, just like their grandparents told them. And they turned around and they started walking back that dusty, hot road in that evening, that summer evening, and they walked back to the grandparents. And as they were walking, they could barely walk, because every one of us, we've had a pebble in our shoe. We've had a rock in our shoe. You know how uncomfortable it is. I remember as a child how when you first went swimming that summer, you know, you're trying to tough your feet up. You know, you're very tender-footed. So you can see them walking back to them. Well, as they got back to the grandparents, all they were talking about was the pain in their foot. All they were talking about was the what they were feeling with and what they were dealing with. They were talking about the trouble. They were not talking about tasting. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. See, you're going through things, I'm going through things, and the devil is using those things to distract us from the good things of God. See, before you come to salvation, you had problems, I had problems, but the walk wasn't that hard. I'm serious. I mean, yes, I was lost and undone. I had sin. But when I got saved, when I got born again, that's when trouble come. Because the devil doesn't want you and I to stay saved. And so we taste and we see how good the Lord is. But if we're not careful, then when trouble comes, if we start walking our way toward the sounding of the trumpet, we start walking our way toward the victory of God, we don't enjoy the sweet things. We murmur. So this morning, I want you and I to let the Holy Ghost pour in so much of His love in our life that it washes the pebbles out of our life. That it causes us and enables us and empowers us to taste again afresh how good God is. God wants you to see how good He is. Amen. He wants to reveal Himself to you. So would you come this morning and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I give you permission. I ask just that you open up the floodgates of heaven and just let the Spirit of God just bring the living water, the Word of God by the Spirit, the love of God, that revelation. Wash out every pebble in my life. I'll open up my heart. I'll open up my hands. I'll open up my mind and I'll let this love come afresh into my life. I want to taste and I want to see how good you are. I want to remember and I want to walk in what it was like the moment I first got saved. Would you come this morning and let us pray with you? Hallelujah. Come on, lay down some things this morning. So you can't hold the things of God and the things of the world. You can't hold the peace of God and the problems of the world. You can't hold the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wisdom of the world. Come on, would you lay down some things that the devil has placed in your life, that the flesh has placed in your life, that the world has placed in your life, and pick up the good things of God?